I'm stoked you guys are here.
Thanks for having us.
For sure. I was going to have you, Adam, with the Schmeens on the lettuce episode, and then I think you were busy just doing maybe one of your like 600 projects that you're involved in. Same with you, Borum. Like I said, I saw you guys with the Break Science Project back in like 2016 or 17, whenever that was. It was really, really sick. Anybody listening, if you haven't checked out Break Science, do some homework. You won't regret it. How you guys been?
Doing great. Another beautiful day in Denver, Colorado.
How did you guys end up meeting in the first place?
We were introduced to a mutual friend, Stu Brooks, who Adam had gone to Berkeley with. But Adam, we had a lot of mutual friends, and Adam was actually a good friend of my older brother's who also went to Berkeley. Nice. But we were formally introduced by Stu Brooks, who is a phenomenal bass player and plays with Danny Elfman also. He founded Dub Trio, and so he's a good buddy of ours, and that was probably 20 years ago at this point that we met each other.
Yeah, around that.
Wow, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. What's your background? Where did you guys grow up? Where are you originally from?
From a half an hour outside Manhattan, Nyack, New York, Rockland County.
I love Manhattan. I miss that. Used to live there back in the day.
Yeah, I lived in Manhattan and Brooklyn for 20 years. About that. And this dude was over in Queensbridge.
Yeah, my family moved all around the city, but we're both New Yorkers.
I love New York. I definitely miss it. I feel like it's changed a lot since I lived there, like maybe 12, 15 years ago. It's still a vibe, though. It's some of the best food I've ever had in my life.
It definitely made us who we are, for sure.
So, I mean, this is the Ableton Live podcast. I know you guys both use Ableton in a different fashion. I'm also a drummer. I definitely resonate with a lot of your skills, and I can't play keys with my life. But yeah, you're a killer keyboardist, to say the least.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. When did you guys both discover Ableton Live and Happily Ever After?
Were you using Ableton when we first met in 08?
Well, I was doing Reason first. By the time the first Break Science show, it was definitely Ableton. I don't know which version of Ableton was out in 2008. It was probably like 4, something like that.
So you just heard about it and just copped it?
2008 might have been 6.
But, I mean, I was using Reason for a couple years and then... Yeah, and then it just came around that this is something that you can use for live performance because that's, you know, people were using Reason for live performance as well. Our good friends of Brazilian Girls, they were the first ones I seen use it. So, you know, people were using the software to make music, to write songs, to produce music, but there were certain people using it for shows. You know, you don't really see people using Pro Tools or Logic. I mean, people do it now, but... then I saw Ableton being used we realized it was the perfect fit for Break Science for what we were trying to do.
2008 would have been Live 7 because it was released
so
the
probably
year before.
Six or seven. Because really Break Science was the reason that we got so deeply into Live and we started using it. Not as much to write music, but you know, we had already been writing music on other platforms. I know Adam was very versed in Pro Tools and I was using Reason as well as there was this one that was called Audiodesk, which is a very dated platform. But that was one of the first ones I started using. And then Ableton was the only reason we started using is for this live element, being able to for its performance capabilities.
Yeah, back in that era, it was like to find a competent musician that could really play keyboards and new harmony and new jazz harmony and also was competent in Ableton and looping and sampling and all that stuff, that it was a really hard, you know, kind of person to find. And, you know, when I got recommended to work with Borum, it was like, this guy is a definite rare breed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people love, I feel like, live drums, and like with keys, you can do so much, especially with like all the different sounds and like patch changes and everything. So I feel like it's kind of a perfect marriage with like the live rhythm and the energy of the drums mixed with like the versatility of the keys and like playing with those MIDI controllers and everything and just kind of mashing it up on the fly. So yeah, that's dope. Yeah. And I mean, Live was created for live performance, right? Originally before Arrangement View was created. So like, I'm happy to see that it seems like the last couple revisions of Live, it seems they've had more of an emphasis on the production side, and with the new performance pack in Live 12 and even some things in 11, it seems like they're actually really trying to enhance the workflows for live performance more now, mm-hmm. with like scene follow actions and like I said, the performance pack, which is crazy, mm-hmm. which I still like need to spend more time with, but that stuff's wild. I don't know if you've played with any of the new Live 12 features.
Checked some of the things out. Try to assimilate it slowly so it doesn't impede the creative process or like what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And just like kind of bring the things in slow as it works. Because there's already more than enough for us to work with.
It's true.
But I'm always open to more things, especially if it pertains to how our process is.
Yeah, that makes sense. How would you say that your process has changed over time with like your live setup and what you guys have been doing over the years?
I mean, like, you know, we started off just triggering our tracks, being able to do filters and things like that on top of the tracks and, you know, kind of play our instruments in addition to the tracks. And that's how it began. And we've evolved to the point where Borum has like four or five different keyboards on stage, and they're all being looped in different ways. And each one can be filtered and messed with in all kinds of, you know, awesome ways. And I don't know, talk about like that. You know, we had like all the profits set up and everything is like going looping and everything. That was crazy to me. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we've definitely evolved over the years. And a lot of it has to also do with like the, you know, the situation, like if we have people helping, if we're flying, if we can bring our own gear, if we can only rent this or that. So that's actually worked to our benefit because it's made us be modular and be able to just be adaptable. So it's just making us think differently about how to set things up.
I'm all about less Pelican cases if I have to travel.
Yeah.
Especially if you're carrying all of it yourself.
Yeah. If we're like flying every day, it's like, obviously we can't bring the full setup, but we did a few shows like locally where, you know, the whole thing set up with a bunch of keyboards and everything was being looped individually and, you know, and just kind of open the door for like what we can really do if, you know, if we have the time and the space to do it.
Makes sense. As far as like live setup, I'd be curious to just nerd out a little more. What exactly are your roles, I guess, as far as like contributing to the live performance, and maybe talk about like your setup? So, I mean, I know you guys got different projects going on.
Every project is another conversation, but for the Break Science show upcoming, we're going to have Adam's, you know, going to have an acoustic kit. He's also going to have the SPDX, the new one, as well as another sample pad that we work on samples together that the pages change according to, you know, what jams we're doing. On my side, I'm going to just be bringing two keyboards this time, and then, but you know, I'm running a gig performer now alongside Ableton. So for those people that aren't familiar, it's definitely a really great tool, and it enables you to use different plugins without taxing the computer. It's a really great resource. I also use it in the Pretty Lights project as well. You know, so I have a couple of different voices for the computer, like a sub, a sort of top bass, and then a pad group, and then a lead group, as well as Adam's got a sample mic, which he's triggering, and then he's also got a drum pad with electronic drum sounds as that are also layered with the acoustic drum sounds as well. And well, you know, we're going to be working with a sound engineer too, because with all this stuff, you kind of have to have somebody that knows your vibe.
Sure.
So yeah, that's a really key element, and it's another factor of when we go to play shows, just with the budget, we can't bring somebody all the time, or most of the time, honestly. Mm-hmm. So we've had to like make the setup according to like what just a house sound person is going to do, which means usually simplifying and minimizing and not being able to open our expressive channels as much, just for practical reasons. But this is a hometown show. We're going to have to bring our guy on, Borentown, on the as an engineer so we can get into our thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years, our thing has become just us wanting to be able to express, you know, making the people happy, doing the thing. But really, we want to express because people in the electronic, you know, sphere, we're blessed to also be musicians first, you know. So
yeah,
we kind of have this angle where we can do that. So it'd be for both of us, we just seem like it'd be a waste if we're not like doing that. So we're you know, as well as, you know, doing the electronic thing, we're also trying to express ourselves as musicians.
Yeah.
And mix that in, because that's kind of our lane in, you know, Break Science is sort of bridging these worlds, because we're into both of it. We love all music. We love the history, and we respect all music, all the new stuff coming out, as well as all where everything came from. And we feel like we're in a sort of unique place where we can speak both languages, and we're, you know, friends with people in the scenes, both scenes. So we want to kind of continue to do.
And being like fans of jazz music and jazz fusion and improvisation, what Ableton allows us to do is use our songs as just like jump off points. So it used to be like we would just play the full song, we'd play along, and we've gotten to the point now where it's like, let's just play 1 minute of this like produced track that we have, and then bring in all these like new elements. You know, say it's like a simple chord progression, and what he does is he creates a similar chord progression, and that's looped, and then we'll bring in another drum loop that I'm going to play over or with, kind of like in between, you know, a live and electronic drum thing, you know, combined. And then he can add, you know, sub bass on the spot, whatever he's feeling, find the loop, then bring in like a mid bass that's sort of like, you know, modern sort of dubstep type sounds. And then, you know, towards the sons of effects and filter options on top of that. So it really opened up our shows, and now we can take our old songs and use them as jump off points to really improvise. So instead of playing 20 songs for the show, we can now play 10 and stretch them as long as we want. And that's really what Ableton has done for us and evolving our sound.
You know, you go see a really complete DJ that's a vet, and the DJ is going to read the room, and he's going to have a massive catalog that he's going to be able to pull from, he or she's going to be able to pull from, and vibe. And when you see a great band, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to be like, oh, okay, like this is the vibe. But you see a producer, what they have to choose from is going to be more limited because it's all stuff they wrote, and it's dope. But we want to play with the ether. We want to like make the vibe and what's going on part of the show. So like what we're feeling, not like, okay, here's our set, we have to stick with it, mm-hmm. you know, but like if there's this energy that's there, then we want to be with that, connect with it, rather than be like, this is a set, no matter like what the energy is, this is what it's going to be, you know, which we've done. And there's a time and place for that. And that's okay to have a premeditated everything. That's fine. But we did that. We did that a lot in the beginning, just for what we were limited to, our budget, all these things. And we realize that, hey, like we want to have this sort of wider scope of like what we can express and just being able to adapt and improvise.
Yeah. Again, being musicians first, that's what really pushed us, you know, because we get bored quick, you know, and as fun as it is playing with a track or playing over a track or live instruments, now it's like to really be in the moment. Each show is completely unique. You know, it has an improvisational vibe that our shows didn't used to have, and it's really in the moment, so the crowd's getting like a once in a lifetime experience that night.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think having that flexibility just brings like a freshness to the show, so like you're not just always playing the same show. It can be a little unpredictable, and I think people love that because it's not always the same thing every time, same product or even same track. So as you guys are like going through a set, from what I'm hearing is you do mix it up maybe depending on the vibe of the room. Like, are you typically setting up a track per scene, or do you have like multiple scenes per track with like maybe different loop in and out points? Like
this Fred Rock show coming up, we have a outline of a set list, but within that we have these, and we're setting, we have like a sort of these palettes. Like Adam has this sample palette that we know is going to work for this jam, but he doesn't know what order he's going to play it in or exactly where he's going to, we're armed with this sort of, you know, with these paints that go with this vibe. And then we know, and it could be 2 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, you know, it just depends on like what we're vibing. And then, you know, we could make a left turn and be like, okay, like we want to chill out, or the energy got to go up, and we have places that we can go to, but we're just trying to set ourselves up to just have a lot of tools to work with on in each of these things. And, you know, and it's good to kind of like get into it, but not overly, you know, it's just like you practice and like, you don't want to run out of all the juice, and like you want to kind of approach it like it's like your first time playing it, but at the same time know your way around it. Right. So there's that kind of delicate balance of like, okay, I know where the shit is, I know what stuff is, but like it's really exciting to me. I'm not like tired of it. Like Adam said, like we get sick of things quickly, you know, we want to move on. And, but yeah, we, you know, we've getting ready for this. This is a big show for us. So, sure. And yeah. Then other times we can just jump into a show, be asked to play a show and play that night and we'll be fine. But yeah. this is a nice sum to be able to prepare for something like this.
You know, and for Red Rocks, like, you know, I think we have a 12, 13 song set list, but if we get into it and it might be a 7 song set list, you know, if it starts vibing, you know, and that's the beauty of where it's at now. And Ableton allows us to do that.
Adam, you know, told me this great story that he was just playing with Lettuce on Jam Cruise. And he was saying that they tried this thing where before they were going to start the intro for this song that everybody loves, they were just going to vibe out before they hit the intro. And then once it felt like, okay, it's time to go, they went to the song. But like, let you know, his direction to the band was, let's see how long we could stretch it out before it feels boring or before it feels like it's time to go, you know. And that's definitely like a thing that we employ. It's like, okay, like we know we're going here, but before we go there, let's just vibe it out and see how long we could vibe it out for and make it exciting and make it inspiring. And also knowing that that's there is a nice feeling, because like I've definitely been on stage many times with different situations where like, okay, where are we going?
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to go. And that's not a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a beginning point and an ending point. Just add a bunch of reverb.
Yeah. You know, you want to kind of have a kind of, you know, GPS, a vibe, but then also be able to explore and be like, you know what? When you kind of know where we're going, but we're gonna like drive around a little bit and, you know.
This episode is sponsored by Baby Audio. They create some really fantastic instruments and plugins, and they just released a big update to their cult classic, the BA-1 Synth, that includes an all-new separate effects strip plugin based on its 80s-inspired effects section. If you already own the synth, get the upgrade for free. Right now, you can get 51% off new downloads for this new intro sale. And if you use the code AMP15, which is in the show notes of this episode, you get an additional 15% off. So this is a great deal to take advantage of right now. Once again, check out the show notes. Use the discount code AMP15. Give it a listen for yourself. And a huge thanks to Baby Audio for supporting this podcast.
In my experience too, is like not having to think on stage is the best feeling, especially as musicians, because like you want the technology to support you and not like to try to figure it out on the fly. So yeah, it sounds like you guys have a pretty good system to do that. So you're not thinking on stage as much as you are just performing. An example of that is like, I don't know if you know AbletonDrummer.com. He made a bank change Max Fly device for the SPD-SX Pro,
oh, really?
Which is awesome. So like in all the scenes, like if I trigger a dummy clip, you can just create dummy clips. It'll create bank changes for you for every song. So you don't have to think about changing the pad.
Wow.
Like little stuff like that can go a really long
way. Yeah,
we
haven't really dug deep into the, you know, combining the SPD-X with Ableton. And now I have the triggers going. It's the first time in my life where it's the new SPD-SX makes it really easy to, you know, involve all the sounds from our records and like, you know, our favorite drum sounds. And that way, when we take out the drums in the tracks, I could still have like a really powerful kick and snare attached to my acoustic stuff. And, you know, I always like the hybrid sound of like acoustic,
yeah,
you know, and electric. Because, you know, sometimes doing just electronic sounds, it gets a little, you know, for me being a live drummer and get, you know, I've spent my 40 years getting a sound on a drum set, and I don't want to leave that alone.
Yeah.
And that's one thing when I, you know, I started with Pretty Lights, you know, shout out to Derek, you know, and their original drummer, just played the sounds that were from Derek's beats. And he just had two pads, a kick pad, you know, on his kick and a snare. And, when I came in, it was kind of like, let's explore like more of a hybrid sound and like involve the acoustic drums with the electronic drums. And I wasn't using triggers then, so there was like a little bit of like a flam, like slightly, you know, depending on how on I was to hit it exactly.
That's crazy. And so you were playing on top of the backing track.
I was playing on top of the stuff,
with a
you
kick.
Know, trying my best to like,
that's crazy,
you know, create like a, you know, as flush sound as I could. But now it's like with the triggers, it's like I could be wavy with it and the triggers are all perfectly in, and it just changed the whole situation.
That's interesting. I mean, that's something I experimented with as a drummer too, of like triggers without triggers, trying to mute the stems to get the right mix of playing along with the stem.
Yeah.
It'd definitely be tricky.
Yeah.
Get that tight
sonic.
It's
always tricky. I mean, I grew up playing with my dad's drum machines. Like he had like weird old drum machines, and I would just like put the headphones on and practice and play with it. So playing with like machine and quantized stuff is like easy for me because I just spent hours in the basement in my dad's studio like doing that. But now with the triggers, it's great. And yeah, just like when we're doing, when we're opening up the songs, it could really allow us to improvise and get into a different place.
Yeah, makes sense. Is there any like new music gear or software or other toys that you've recently discovered, or whether it's producing or live performance, that you've really loved?
I'm always on the lookout for new things. I mean, I just bought an old keyboard, so it's nothing new, you know, but we love the old sounds.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's just
what about that box you use? I don't know.
There's always a box. There's always a new box. There's always a new box. So
Borum's, I mean, a box collector. He loves the boxes.
I mean, I mean, it's but yeah, my girlfriend complains about how many wires I have in the house. She's like, I get another pack. She'd be like, more wires. You know, like, that's what it takes. You gotta get all those wires
my
to make everything.
The same thing.
She's like, got all those wires.
Like, she hates wires.
Yeah, dude. She's like, babe, this is a fire hazard.
Yeah, we got to make everything wireless soon. I don't know how they're going to do that, but it'd be great to just like have everything just running. And
well, now it's all one wire. It's good. It's a USB-C, so it's like the same for the phone, the same for both ends of the USB. It's not like the square side, and it's like, I'm really stoked about that. Yes. So it's like everything. You could charge a computer with the same thing as you used to plug into the keyboard as a phone.
And your phone, yeah.
It's
about
time.
It's about time. So it's not. You don't have to look at which way is up and down. It's just, you just plug it in.
Yeah. Right.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah. It took 50 years.
Right. Yeah, until like MIDI 3.0 comes out or whatever, and they change all the wires again.
That'll
or
be
something.
In the USB-C.
Oh, I'm hoping so. Yeah, it should be. I look forward to the day where I don't have to plug anything in. It just works. Right. Maybe we'll have Neuralinks. We just think about everything connecting. That's right.
Yeah.
I know that, Borum, you've been probably deeper into the Ableton Live world more so. Like, are there any specific features in Ableton that you maybe wish there were, whether it's a workflow or if there was something that you're like, man, it would be nice if Ableton had this?
You know, you can group and collapse the tracks, you know, going, you know, but it'd be great if you could do that with the scenes. So it's like you can unfold the scenes and you can
over,
and then the other one that we've been missing on the Pretty Lights thing is the leader for the link. So it's like you can link things, but everybody can change the tempo. So like we can have these different machines all linked. So like if I go up in tempo, then everybody's will be synced. But then that means like anybody could change it. Whereas like you should have like a link leader. You know,
oh, there is actually a way to do that.
I mean, I emailed Coleman about it, and he's like, right now it's not presently, but it's not one of the options as the, you could do, you know, no stop start, you know, but that's different than like, because what would happen at some shows with Pretty Lights, like someone would like change the tempo by accident, you know, and then the whole shit was like, it's totally potential train wreck. So yeah, like if you look there on the screen, there's just
stop start,
but there's no leader of it. So, you know, when you're using, you know, the great thing about Ableton is that this thing called Ableton Link, so, and it works wirelessly. So it's like, if you have a bunch of computers all working together and he changes the tempo, all the computers move together, you know what I mean? But there should be assignable words that you have one leader. So like, you can't change the tempo, like the one person who's in control is... You know, so that would be a nice feature.
I think I saw Max for Live Device or somebody made that.
I've definitely gone down the rabbit hole, but those are just two off the top of, you know.
And the other day you were saying we couldn't individually tune each sample. Like,
oh, no, we can. It's just I had a four, you know, I have this drum rack where the samples and I would hit like a thing and then everything moves and gets into key. And if I want to go in F or into D or whatever, and they all move a little bit. But then if like they're all like, programmed individually to work with the racks and everything. So if I changed one, it would take it off the system, you know. But that was for the system that I was using.
Right.
Well, I think with the tempo thing, couldn't you just use like a MIDI cable and run it out of a computer and sync it to another computer, not using Link?
Yeah, I mean, but ideally you can use Link because the whole purpose of using Link is so you can have a bunch of people with a bunch of computers like that are all and then we're all together. But then it's like if one person fucks up. On the show computer and everything, you know, gets changed. So.
Yeah, I like to say that, you know, and what they're doing in Pretty Lights right now has never been done in history. And with all those computers linked and the jamming that's going on, the improvisation element.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're doing, but it's fucking awesome. And Yeah.
I mean, Derek's controlling like basically the master out mixer, right? And he's
Derek's mixing it on stage, which is very unheard of. So he, you know, he's sending the stuff out, but he's deciding how loud everything should be from the front of the stage.
That's wild.
You know,
that kind of control would actually scare me a little bit. Like,
yeah, he's and as well as controlling a bunch of other things too, and directing the band, and you know, because he has a mic and he's telling us bring stuff in and out, and who should keep playing and who should turn up and who should turn down.
Yeah.
But then he could turn us down too, because so you know if somebody's playing something that doesn't sound like nope. it, he could just be like, "Yep,
yeah,
taking that out."
Yeah, but you could try something out until it works. Play for 16 bars, 32 bars, and then be like, "Oh, that's great, guys, stay right there."
Yeah, boom, and then he could bring it up. Yeah, so we can have we have a cue.
So it allows you to kind of find a thing live. Yeah, and then you know once it's there, that's where it's at.
Because he's just talking to you through a mic, basically, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I saw Pretty Lights Band in Chicago. I think it was like 2018.
That's probably Adam. Adam was probably on that one, or
yeah,
Alvin at that time. Or Adam that was Alvin.
I don't think it was you.
Yeah, it was Alvin. I'm sure.
Okay, you were there. I saw.
Yeah, Alvin. I mean, I've done all. I mean, Adam did them for until like 2016.
I did it to like 14.
24. Yeah, like
14. Yeah.
Nice.
The early era.
Good old days. Yeah, man, it's a really wild setup and it's really cool, and I think that adds like a freshness. You know, I have some friends who have been to like almost all of Derek's like new shows, and he's like every time it's different. It's not exactly the same, which is really cool and inspiring, I think, for a lot of people to just be able to have that versatility and just trying something that's uncomfortable, you know, on stage. I think it's like that greater risk is greater reward type of thing, you know. It's like trying something people haven't done before, something fresh and new.
Yeah, Derek likes to push the envelope and try new things, and you know, also allow for you know the band to stretch out and not be stuck into just playing the track. And I think what they're doing right now, and you know, as a byproduct, like what we've been working on for you know almost 20 years, it's all you know. It's just a new era for all this electronic / live music.
That's cool. Are there any like wild stories on stage or even just like playing shows that you'd want to share, whether it's good or bad or
when the computer gets too hot?
Oh yeah. We've definitely had a couple of die. There's one story. It's one of my favorites. It's not Break Science. It's when I was playing this old band, Topaz. We played for, it's just a hilarious story. We were playing for, there wasn't a lot of people. There was on Block Island or some random place. There was just a few people there. And there was a guy like showed up with a saxophone. I was like, hey, you know, can I sit in? And nobody knew him. And we were like, no, it's not that kind of gig. You know, he's like, no, let me sit in. He's real pushy about it. And we're like, no, man, like, we don't know you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, no one was mean to him or anything. We're just like, and so like, just like any stage setup, you know, there's a breakout box with a snake and like all the,
he unplugged everything.
So he like looking around and then he unplugged all the things and then he ran out. And then the whole band shuts off except the drummer is still going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just, and the guy ran out of there and it was just,
damn.
And he just killed it because the soundman didn't know where anything went. It's not like you just plug it back in, you know?
Wow.
And it was just a really funny, and it was just so funny that we didn't even get mad. And there weren't a lot of people there, you know, and it was just like so hilarious. And we're just like, really? Oh my God. And we just stopped, you know, the show ended.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's how I got, people were saying Deitch Beats don't quit. It's like a thing. And it started because I think it was a Pretty Light show and the power went out and it was packed, a lot of people. And there's no sound. I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to keep going. I was feeling it. And then this friend of mine, Heather, screams out, Deitch Beats don't quit. Because I just like, I'm going to keep everybody moving if I can. And they can just still hear me. And then it came back on. Wow. And it was just like this epic thing.
That's amazing.
And now I have like t-shirts and it's like this whole like thing. Now.
Everybody's like, wow, I can't believe they planned that. It's so amazing. The little drum solo.
Yeah, just that's why I have acoustic drums up there in case all the stuff goes out. You're going to still get a beat going.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, when in doubt, any stage problems, drum solo just fixes all. One of my worst stories on stage is I was playing and I was like fresh out of high school. I was on tour and I broke a drumstick. I was like, I'm going to throw it in the crowd. This is my moment. This is like a big show for me. So like instead of just being a sane human where you just like slowly toss a stick into the crowd, I like was way too like hyped up on energy and just chucked it in the crowd really hard. And as you know, like drumsticks don't split in a nice clean way.
Yeah, you could take someone's eye out for sure.
Hit some girl in the face in the front row.
No. Dude,
she literally did like a flip and her feet just like kicked up.
No,
she
was probably, you like, got her bad.
She was probably like 18.
I think I probably hit a few people at the beginning.
She must have been bleeding.
No, we didn't see her the rest of the show. She might be dead. We don't know.
Oh,
<She's>
no.
Like, it was the last we ever saw her. Like, our bassist just stopped playing. He's like, what the fuck just happened?
On behalf of Dan, I'd like to say he's sorry to that fan.
Just killed a fan, dude. People who know me joke, like, yeah, you're going to be in Ohio someday in that town, and some girl with an eye patch is going to come up and just punch you in the face.
Revenge.
Like, I know it was you.
Yeah, now I go to the front. I used to throw them out. Now I kind of, like, hand them to the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
Like, really, or light toss.
That's what a sane person would do. Yeah, for sure. So you guys have like toured a lot. You've been playing and doing this for a really long time, whether just playing your instruments or producing. What advice would you give to other musicians aspiring to make a living today? Because the music industry, I feel like, has probably changed since you guys first started. Like maybe share like things you've learned or what advice you'd give to other people wanting to make a living.
I recommend to all my like drummer friends and to learn to do DJ sets and to align with people like Borum that are better than them with technology and they could create like a hybrid DJ thing. And that's another thing, another aspect of their creative output. A lot of cats are just looking for a band. They're waiting for a call. They're waiting to join some band. And so you could make something, happen. And honestly, like there was a time period where Break Science really took care of our food, our rent, everything. And it really changed our, you know, that New York, this is New York prices, it's serious, it's living in New York.
Yeah,
and
facts.
So, you know, it can really help. So, I recommend to everyone that if you just play instruments, you just play in bands, like experiment with Ableton and experiment with someone, you know, that you could combine and do like a duo, sort of smaller group using Ableton. And then you could have like symphony orchestras in the track that are filtering and horn sections and crazy samples and you could do that with 2-3 people, you know.
Yeah, I mean, totally resonate with what Adam's saying, you know, just being versatile, adapting, understanding, you know, but it depends what your lane is. If you're into technology, if you're into new things, learning about them, but that's not as much your thing, you know, just your, you know, definitely collaboration too. It's huge for me and Adam, but there's some people who aren't as much into the collaborative process and they just like to be alone and do things. And that's okay too. So I think if you boil it down, it's the bottomless line for me is like your belief in yourself, your belief in what you're doing, and then bolstering that belief and strengthening it and making it easier to believe in yourself by the things that you're applying in your life. For instance, practicing every day. The more you practice, the more you get better at your thing, the more you can believe in yourself. Cause you're like, yo, I can play this shit now. Having the belief of like, oh, like I think I could do this. I have something in me. I have an expression, but it's got holes in it. And then you practice and you fill those holes in and then you feel, but then you collaborate, you learn about new shit, you figure out business things, and then you're bolstering the belief more, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but it's got to have that underlying thing of believe in yourself. And then, you know, and then it's like, you know, the other underlying thing is like, what are your intentions? Like, why are you doing this? And I can't answer that for anybody, but it's like for me and Adam, I know that, honestly say that it's not about anything else except that we love music. It's the universe for us and it explains everything and everything's after that, but like we have a deep love for music and that's, you know, why we do it. So it's like the intention and then the belief, like the believing in yourself's everything. If you falter in that belief, then you lose it. Like, so how do you strengthen that? How do you strengthen your belief? It's not just like, okay, I'm going to believe myself. That's not going to cut it. Like you got to do, you got to shed, you got to work, you got to meet people, you got to hustle online. And then knowing what those things are, because not hustling online and doing social media is not for everybody. Like you could be so killing, do your thing, and then you put out one thing and that could take care of you. You know what I mean? Or you hit it every day, once a week, you do a podcast, you're doing live lessons, whatever it is, like it's all dope. But knowing how it applies to your process and what's going to resonate with you as a, you know, individual, you know, that's, and not getting fucked with this by the social norms and like what other society and what other people make you think that you should be doing. Like that's the hardest part, especially in the nowadays. It's like, well, these guys didn't, this his video look like this, this and that. And it's all this noise, you know, noise. So filtering out that noise, picking up the little pieces of inspiration here and there, but most of it's noise that gets in the way of your process and you finding your life. And me and Adam are fortunate enough to grow up without before social media, before even being able to see musicians. In order to see a musician, you'd have to go see them play. Mm-hmm. But now, like, you know what everybody sounds like before you ever even meet them or sound, you know? Yeah. So because of that, we got into our own process early on without that noise. But now, and then I'm so glad that, like, now we're older, that we have that foundation, and now we can, like, filter out the noise more easily and be like, you know what, I'm going to turn my shit off and just do my thing. Or, like, I'm going to pick up, but not, like, get into serious doubts about, you know, you get into self-doubting and all this stuff because of this noise. Yeah. And, like, it still happens to all of us, but, like, I'm just grateful that I know what it's like. So I would just say the advice is, like, to just listen to yourself and know, try to figure out the right things to apply that apply to you and to bolster your belief, because the beliefs are, just got to believe in yourself. So how do you make that greater and bigger, you know? And sometimes it's practicing 10 hours a day. Sometimes it's learning. Sometimes it's hooking up with these other people, you know? So.
Yeah, that's really good. No, I mean, you touched on a lot there. There's a lot to unpack with what both you said.
Yeah, we got into this for the art, not to defeat an algorithm. You know,
no, then that's a real struggle too. Like, especially when you're starting out, because you start following all the people that, like, you know, are influential to you and your art. Like, you see them crushing it all the time, and then you're following these other people, and you see them crushing it, and you're like, oh, well, they're getting more likes than I am. It's easy to compare yourself, and that's just like a black hole for a lot of people. You know, yeah. It can be easy to go into that trap.
So if you pursue this lane of where you're so individualistic, you're not competing with anybody, because nobody, you know, you really figure out your own lane, and nobody. There's no competition because you're so in your own lane.
Yeah.
And that's definitely like a, you know, if that's something in your destiny, that's like a great way to go too. So, like, you find your own unique voice so much. And I feel like that would happen a lot more if people were not as influenced, if they shut out more noise and then they just figured out their own thing. So it is a tricky line, because we love to be inspired by other people too. Like, I love to check out what other people are doing and learn, but then knowing how to balance, okay, like, now
it can be too much input sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
you got to limit the input,
right? Yeah, I saw Sunny or Skrillex was doing an interview the other day, and he said something like, it's like, you know, success is something that you attract, not something you catch. It's like staying in that lane and just like grinding, and then, you know, eventually you're going to attract that by putting in the effort and the time and all the good things.
Yeah
for sure. Up real quick, upcoming projects you guys are working out, you want to shout out to people?
We have this new album that we're working on. It's we're still trying to figure out conceptually how it's going to work. Like, I feel like Borm's more into the songs being malleable and changeable, to perform them, as opposed to being like just this finite piece of work. And we're trying to find this like balance where, yes, we can release an album and it is a semi-finite piece of art, but it's also, when you see us perform it, it's just a jumping off point, you know? So it's like keeping the stuff kind of minimal and trying to figure out how it could work live. You know, a big influence obviously is, you know, like great artist Miles Davis, and, you know, a big draw for the Grateful Dead is that every show is different and what they created. So people can come to multiple shows and see a different show every night. And that's what, you know, we've been working on for years, and it's like coming into fruition. And when you see Pretty Lights, like, my favorite part when I go see them now is like when they go into the jam, you know, and like, that's the exciting part. What's going to happen? You know, like, where will it go? How long will it go? They've done 25 minute songs, you know, jams coming from one of his, you know, well-known songs, and all of a sudden it's a brand new thing. So, I think that's one of the most exciting parts of what we're doing. And so we just got to figure out how this new album is going to work and how we can kind of incorporate all of that.
I think all the things that we're doing, the solo, the working with the other bands, and then the Break Science, it all feeds into each other. So we're really excited for the next Break Science thing, and how the things that we've been working on alone and separately with other people, and how that all, you know, feeds into, you know, these new inspirations, techniques learned and everything.
Yeah, Borm's solo stuff is really great too, and it's what's the name of the most recent record?
I just put out one record. It's called Echoic Memory.
Echoic Memory, yeah.
And it's under your name, right, Borm?
Yeah, so it's just under my name.
And it's amazing. I recommend everyone check it out. And I just saw one of, he just did a set at Meow Wolf, and it was amazing, and it's all malleable and it's moving around, and there's real live keyboard playing happening by a professional musician, and then it's all, you know, a lot of cool stuff happening underneath that. Still not quite sure what the hell you're doing up there, but it's awesome. I love it.
I feel the same when I watch him play drums too.
Yeah. I was gonna say, you guys have your hands in so many projects. You've got your own solo things going on. Mm-hmm. Any other projects that you guys want to shout out? Upcoming things happening with them or yourself?
I mean, you know, Lettuce is still evolving, and we've done a bunch of Let Science shows, which is like a combination of Lettuce and Break Science, where, you know, Borm's running Ableton, and then we kind of go into these sections where the band can kind of join in, and those shows were highlights. I wish we had like HD video of those shows, because they were amazing. But I'm looking forward to maybe doing a couple more of those. Like Lettuce
has another symphony one coming up too, or was that next year?
We have another symphony coming up. Nashville, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, their Colorado one was epic too.
Yeah.
So you don't need Ableton when you can actually get an actual symphony.
Yeah, for real.
And then you got a conductor, and that's a whole different, you know, process too.
Goals.
Yeah, it all started with the Denver Symphony, and you know, once you have the charts, I learned that from like Pretty Lights. I played Red Rocks, and he had the Colorado Symphony, and it was mind blowing. And I was like, I want to do this with Lettuce so bad. And then, you know, Opio also involved the symphony.
Yeah,
incredible what he did, and
that's our dude.
So, yeah, it was very inspiring. And then once you have the charts for everybody, these people read like we could read. A kindergartner's book,
right?
So all you have to do is have the charts, then you can play with any symphony in the world. And there's people that write the charts, so you could, you know, have some ideas for it. And like, you know, I'd love to do Break Science with a symphony. We should do that.
Yeah, I second that.
Put that
out. That'd be cool. That too.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not the only one that seconds that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people would love to see that.
How many of these have you done? What number of podcasts?
This we're going on 160 next week.
Wow, man! What was the first year you did it?
Dude, I think it was 2017 when I started. Shit. And it was literally just me.
Pre-COVID.
Like, yeah, pre-COVID. And I was just recording. Yeah, COVID really helped, actually, the podcast.
Oh, that's the best time for
shout
the
out podcast. To COVID for the podcast.
No, it actually, COVID helped us make the record, too.
Yeah,
it was
a
COVID record. And we started another band at that time, which we didn't shout out, the Butterfly Quintet.
Which is
an amazing band with Dom and Benny from Lettuce, Dom from Big Gigantic, and our good buddy Hunter on bass. And that was our code, because we all live here and we're all longtime friends. And it was the our COVID band.
Yeah, it was important for Borm to have a project where he's just playing keyboards and there's no computer. And
he's got a bass player.
And people were starting to think of him as like a DJ, which he, you know, he is, and a producer, which he is. But he's also an amazing keyboard player. So to have Butterfly Quintet kind of showcase what he could do, that record's out and it's on Spotify and everything. You should check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody check that out. I'll include links to the show notes with a lot of these things, so people can go check that out too.
Well, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for joining the podcast, guys. Yeah, it's been awesome.
That was a joy to be a part of that.
Sweet. Yeah, everybody go follow these dudes, and we'll see you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. Do me a huge favor, hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you're listening. If you don't hate the podcast, please leave a 5-star review. It would be really helpful to me. If you want to be the first to get new episodes, the latest updates, maybe some free sound libraries or packs or whatever, join the newsletter. Just go to liveproducersonline.com/newsletter or check out the link in the show notes. Don't forget to give this guest a follow on the socials. Give him some love. Last but not least, I want to give a huge thank you to KMG Life Studios in Denver, Colorado for letting us use their space. And yeah, they also have some really cool Ableton Live training, lots of good stuff. So check them out. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next time.